The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and she knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. It's a long ways down, but come on down. I could even meet you partway, I suppose. Are you guys bashful? Yeah? Okay. That's all right. I'm bashful, too. People don't believe it, but I'm bashful. Are you guys bashful? You wanted to sing in the microphone this morning. You're not bashful. What's up? I have a little prayer that I want to teach you guys. And there are three words that it seems that Jesus can't resist. So I don't know if you kids, if your kids would want to come right over here, we could just have a little powwow. Hey, you guys want to come right over here? Just sit right here. All right, how's that sound? Then I can just talk to the whole gang right here. So, three words that Jesus can't seem to resist. Any guesses of what they were from what I just read? Steve, it's not give me candy. Nice try, though. Yeah, yeah. You're in the right section this morning, buddy. You just. Yeah. Lord, help me. And if you want to change the word Lord to Jesus, you could do that. Jesus, help me. Anything going on this week that you guys might be a little bit nervous about? What starts this week? School starts this week, doesn't it? Yeah. I know when I started school every year, you know, when I was in school every year, I was a little bit anxious about that and felt a little bit overwhelmed, especially like about the third day. And that seems to me that I remember that I would get a little bit overwhelmed by that third day. And sometimes I would even just have a good cry. And rarely do I cry anymore, but I did. I'd have a good cry and kind of let it all out, and I think that cry was my way of saying, "Lord, help me." And you know what? Every year, the Lord helped me. So whether you're homeschooled or whether you're in public school or, you know, whatever's going on in your life, remember those three words, "Lord, help me." Because Jesus doesn't seem to be able to resist those words. And that when that woman cried out to him on behalf of her daughter who was sick, she said, "Lord, help me." And that's when it seems like Jesus turned. And he couldn't resist but to help her. And it's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful story of this woman who was persistent in crying out to Jesus, saying, "Lord, help me," on behalf of her daughter. And it's a beautiful story that Jesus seems to expand his ministry across a boundary or a barrier that seemed to be in his way. And he healed her daughter. What were those three words again? Help me say them. Lord, help me. Steve, I want to hear you too. Lord, help me. Good job. All right. Okay, let's pray. I'll start the prayer with those three words. Lord, help us. Let's say that. Lord, help us. Help us to do your will. Help us to love one another. And help us to walk in your ways. Bless each of these children as they begin a new school year. Those who are in school, bless those who are anxious about other things. Help them to remember these three words. Bless the teachers and the staff, both in our public schools and at Waldorf. Bless them, Lord, to have a wonderful year of learning that will empower these children to love and to serve this world in ways that truly make you known and that help your light shine. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I kind of wrestled. I don't always title my sermons, but sometimes it helps to title them because it helps me kind of focus on the gospel or the heart of what's happening in a text. And so I believe kind of where I've landed here is that if I were to title this sermon, it would be Expect the Unexpected, Defiled, and Delivered. Expect the Unexpected, Defiled, and Delivered. To really engage this story or to help this story meet us where I believe the author of this story, the Apostle Matthew, wants to meet us, we need to set this story in its context. And we heard these words of Jesus that we heard today spoken to this woman. We heard these words back in chapter 10 when Jesus has gathered his disciples to prepare them for an immediate send-off for their first missionary journey. And he says to them, go nowhere among the Gentiles nor among the Samaritans, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Again, these are puzzling words to us who live in the 21st century, who have been following Jesus our whole lives. These are puzzling words because they sound so separatist. They sound so exclusive. And so I have to ponder what those words mean, and I hope that you do too. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, in chapter 11 then, so the disciples do go, and they seem to have a fairly successful missionary journey. And then in chapter 11, the faith community begins to wrestle with its expectations of Messiah, because it becomes pretty evident to them that Jesus is not just another prophet, that he's not just another priest, but that he is something or someone special sent by God. And so they begin to wrestle deeply with the questions of their expectations of the one whom God has promised to send, the Messiah, the anointed one, the one sent to save. The first indication of that is in chapter 11 when John the Baptist, who is imprisoned, sends his disciples to Jesus to ask the question, are you the one who is to come, or shall we wait for another? And Jesus answers, tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them. But for John, there's no winnowing fork in Jesus' hands. There's no threshing floor. There's no all-consuming fire. And these are things that John expected from the Messiah. And so he wrestles with his expectations of Jesus. Jesus and his disciples continue their journey, and one Sabbath day they're walking through the grain fields. This is chapter 12, and his disciples are hungry, and so they pluck grains of the fruit of the grain, and they eat. And the Pharisees come, the religious leaders come to them and say, why? Why do you break these traditions? Why do your disciples eat on the Sabbath day? Again, they wrestle with their expectations of this one who was expected to come and fulfill, to establish and fulfill the law, to bring the God's people back into alignment with God's law. He seems to be outside of that law. He seems to be breaking that tradition and that law himself, and so they wrestle with their expectation of Jesus. In chapters 13 and 14 of Matthew's gospel, Jesus then speaks of the secrets of the kingdom of God in parables, revealing to his disciples and those who listen the deepest secrets of that place where God reigns. These parables, too, help people wrestle with their expectations of the Messiah, the one who is anointed to come and save God's people. And so now Jesus, in chapter 15, in the earliest verses of chapter 15, Jesus is near the Sea of Galilee, and he's doing his work. And it's then that the Jerusalemite Pharisees and scribes, who believe that they are the purest of the pure, come and challenge Jesus, saying, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands before they eat?" And in good fashion, Jesus doesn't answer them right away. Instead, he offers his own counter challenge, saying that the Word of God commands you to honor your father and mother and to care for them, and yet you say to your father and mother that whatever support you may have gotten from me has now been given to the Lord, and he says you dishonor the Word of God. Again, they expect one who will bring God's people into confirmation with that law, into the boundaries of the law, and yet Jesus continues to challenge them by breaking their traditions. And it's then that Jesus says, "Listen, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles. For what comes out of the mouth, that which comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and that is what defiles." This is a revolutionary statement by a revolutionary Messiah, because those, especially those from Jerusalem, would have believed that it was precisely that which went into the mouth which defiled. And for them, this is unexpected and unacceptable behavior from their Messiah. And it's then that we meet this Canaanite woman, a woman who comes to Jesus pleading on behalf of her daughter. This Canaanite woman is one who is defiled, at least, especially in the minds of those Jerusalemites, defiled just simply because of who she was. She was a woman unclean. She was a Canaanite foreigner. She was loud in public. X. Three strikes and you're out. She cries out and Jesus ignores her. She cries out and Jesus gives his separatist answer, "I have come only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That word "only" is the word that trips me up. She cries out and Jesus puts her down. It's not right to take children's food and throw it to the dogs. This woman is defiled and has no right to ask anything of the Jewish Messiah, according to those, especially those who live in Jerusalem. She is outside of the boundaries. She's outside of God's worthiness and God's grace. And I have to tell you, this is a story in which I really don't like Jesus. I love the story, but I don't like the Jesus that I meet in this story. Because Jesus gives the party line. He gives the line that would be expected by those who are within the establishment. He ignores her at first. He puts her down by this separatist comment. And then he insults her by calling her or insinuating that she and her people are nothing more than dogs. And then she speaks those three words. She speaks those three words and say them with me, "Lord, help me." And it seems to me that at that point, at that moment, Jesus turns. He turns and he sees her faith and he heals her daughter. And it's in that moment that we see the real Jesus. I don't really know why Jesus gives these answers kind of the party line answers. I don't understand it. Because it's Jesus has healed others who have been on the outside already in Matthew's gospel. He has interacted with both insiders and outsiders. And yet in this moment, he gives that party line answer. And it's not until she pleads with those three words, "Lord, help me," that Jesus turns and becomes who he truly is. This story challenges you and I to wrestle with our expectations of Jesus. It challenges us to wrestle with our understanding of Messiah. There's a song that I will not sing to you this morning, but the words go, "There ain't no mountain high enough, there ain't no valley low enough to keep me from getting to you." And I think that that song could have been sung both by this woman and by Jesus. This woman would not be stopped. She was ruthless in her advocacy for her daughter. And you and I are called to be ruthless in our and persistent in our advocacy on behalf of children and those who are put down in this world, those who are excluded. We are called to be ruthless in our advocacy. And ultimately, Jesus makes his way to Jerusalem, where he climbs that mountain, where he gives his life, where he descends into hell, into the deepest valley, from the highest mountain to the deepest valley, so that he can get to you and to me. Jesus often does that which is unexpected in the scriptures. He crosses those boundaries and he reaches out to those who are excluded and shamed and cast out of the society. And he restores and heals and blesses. And that's the Jesus that I believe you and I have come to expect. Because my guess is that you don't like this story any better than I do, because we in this little picture, in this little story, we don't meet the Jesus whom we have come to expect. One who will cross any boundary, one who will climb any mountain, one who will ascend to any valley to bring life and freedom and liberty to sinners and all who are defiled. We've come to expect that Jesus. We've come to be a people who are called to expect that from Jesus. We are called to live as an expectant people. And we are called. We are called to ascend those mountains. We are called to descend into those valleys on behalf of others who are hurting and broken and excluded in our world. That is the kind of church, the kind of people that we have been called and gathered and gifted to be. In baptism, we who were born defiled were made clean. And yet we still like to meddle, don't we, in those places of darkness in our own lives. And we like to go our own way. And so daily through that washing and renewal, we move from defiled to delivered, as Isaiah has said. From defiled to delivered. And we are called to be a people who live in that way in the world. To reach out to those who we may see as defiled or others may see as defiled and give a hand, offer hope, bring the light of Christ into that place. It all connects with a greater biblical story. The story of Abraham and Sarah, who were blessed to be a blessing. God called Abraham and Sarah, and he said to Abraham, I will make of you a great nation, and through you all the families of the world will be blessed. And that continues to be the mission of the church today. The psalmist cries out, bless us, have mercy on us, shine upon us. And always in those kind of texts, we're called to remember that we call out, we cry out for God's blessing on behalf of the world. And that's what we see in this woman. She was not crying out that Jesus would bless her, even give her a seat at the table. She wasn't even asking for a seat at the table. She was simply saying, Lord, help me, heal my daughter. And so she was crying out for God's blessing that it may be extended to her daughter, who would have in those days been seen as one who was even more unworthy than her mother. There ain't no mountain high enough. There ain't no valley low enough to keep Jesus from getting to those who are defiled and broken and hurting. And you and I have been blessed. We've been blessed to be part of that mission, to be part of that ministry. And we are blessed again and again and again, not with worldly goods or treasures perhaps, but with love in our hearts, with the ability to see who Jesus is, one who will climb any mountain or descend any valley to bring healing and life, hope and salvation to this world that he loves. There is much work to do. Amen.